We know it is Mother's Day, and yet this isn't just for mothers what we're going to be talking about today, but I don't know that there's any higher intense, higher paying venue than in the home, specifically in the relationships that are closest to us, to actually build people, to be helping people become better versions of themselves, that environment where we're born and raised. One of the ways I build into my kids this week was in the car. In fact, we're driving down the road. Probably if you would have pulled up next to me or been behind me, it would have looked a little like this. I'm sitting there.
Clap along if you feel
like
clap along if you feel
and, you know, we just drive down the road like this. We just have random moments of fun because, you know, that part, sometimes that's all you can do, right? And that's just one of the ways. And I'm going to talk a little more about this today. One of the ways we can build into, come on, Pharrell Williams, my goodness, if you can't have fun with Pharrell, all right? I mean, oh, that's an awesome song right there. Every time it hits the radio, that's what happens. You know, it doesn't matter if you're 25, doesn't matter if you're 85. You know, it's good to have fun inside your home. And Julie and I, you know, when we began thinking toward having kids, we didn't have kids till we were about 5-6 years into our marriage, and we began to pray for our kids. Not that we would have like the 2.7 average kids of the American household. We weren't praying that we would have more fulfilling Christmases or more fulfilling Thanksgivings as a result of our kids. But we, you know, wanted to have kids and began praying toward that end because we wanted to be able to spiritually develop someone for the rest of their life. You know, for us, kids are not an 18-year process, but it's actually walking out a lifetime process of building them, of helping them become lifelong learners and spiritually growing them. And ultimately, our goal is to become best friends with them. We're not best friends right now, right? That's not our role. But eventually, that's where we hope to be. And there's no greater development zone than somebody that is in your family. Whether that's, you know, DNA family, kids that are of your DNA, or that's kids that you've chosen to foster, or kids that you've adopted, or, you know, even if it's somebody you've taken in under your wing, to help that individually actually, you know, go up and to the next level is a very, very powerful thing. Jim Collins has a great book, maybe you've read it, called Great by Choice. And it's really fascinating in this book. He looks at how is it that some companies outperform other companies by 10 times or more. He calls them 10Xers. That's what he calls those companies, companies who outperform their competitors by 10 times or more. And through this whole book, he tries to correlate kind of these successful organizational dynamics in some of these businesses to something that happened back in 1911, as there were two men who made a mad dash to the South Pole. And so Roland, I never get his name right, Amundsen and John Falcon Scott back in 1911 both made these mad dashes to the South Pole. They wanted to be the first one to get their expedition team to the South Pole. And as a result of that, Amundsen got there and Falcon Scott did not. In fact, Falcon Scott's guys all died as a result of being on the expedition before they ever reached the South Pole. And so in this book, Jim Collins kind of identifies the differences between these two men, how they approached their expedition, and the great manner that we can live by if we follow some of the examples that we can learn from these two men. And so one of the things Amundsen did, the guy that actually made it, is he hit a consistent mark every day. And so he hit the 15.7 or something miles every single day. In fact, Collins calls it in his book, the 20-mile march discipline. He says, you know, when we are 20-mile march people, we set out our strategy. We say, every day we're going to hit our marks. That's what great businesses do. Every week they hit their marks. Every month they hit their marks. Every year they hit their marks. There's a consistency in this. You know, they rarely overstretch or understretch, but they're constantly strategizing and just hitting their marks. And so Amundsen, when he was, you know, on this expedition to the South Pole, even if it was a beautiful day and they reached their 15.9 miles at 3 in the afternoon and the sun was still up, he'd shut it down. He'd say, we're done for the day. He'd give his guys day, you know, the rest of the day off. They'd rest. They'd enjoy community that evening. If they woke up and it was a lousy day, the weather was rough, you know, a day when most people would say, man, let's just pack it in, hunker down today and double time it tomorrow. No, they'd get out and they'd hit their 18.2 miles or whatever was slated for that day. There was a consistency. You know, there's a sense of, hey, we're just going to be consistent in marching this thing out. Whereas Scott, on the other hand, you know, if it was a great and beautiful day and the sun was still shining, he would push his guys further. He's like, hey, let's hit 30 miles today. And he'd push them, and they'd get totally fatigued by the time they stopped, and they had other things. You know, they're all messed up for several days. And if it was a lousy day, they'd kind of hunker down and be like, yeah, we're not going forward today. And then they'd try to hit twice as much pace tomorrow. And it's interesting. It's interesting how Jim Collins kind of summarizes this, and he makes the application to businesses, but I'm gonna exchange business for family this morning because I think it's a really, really good application. Here's what he says in his book. He says, a family can always adopt a 20-mile march discipline even if it hasn't had such a discipline earlier in its history. You know, as I talk about some of these things today, if you're a parent right now, or you were a parent, you might have certain thoughts today. You likely aren't going to agree with everything I say. You might be sitting there thinking, oh my word, I'm really good at this. I mean, this dude is screwed up. I am so much better than he is when it comes to parenting. Or some of the things I might share with you this morning, you might sit there and just be like, man, I'm lousy at this. I've blown it. Or, man, I wish I would have heard this, 20 years ago. You know, here's the thing. Wherever you are in the parenting spectrum right now, whether you're a parent-to-be down the road or you've already got kids out of your home but you're still a parent, wherever you may be, here's the thing. There could even be a 25-year-old that looks to you as a parent-like figure. Maybe they're not of your DNA. Wherever you are, you can start right now. You can decide today that I'm going to identify some key disciplines and I'm going to begin to start hitting those marks of building into those key disciplines. And as a result of that, people will be developed, you're going to be better off, and the people you're developing are going to be better off. And so, my hope is that as we look at a couple of these key disciplines today, you can say, okay, where am I in this and how can I begin today to begin to implement, wherever I am, some of these key disciplines. And some of the key disciplines that are required for every family structure are two things. One is play and the other is purpose. So we have play and we have purpose. Every single person that's developed has to have an environment where they play, has to have an environment where they just have fun. Every single person that's developed has to have an environment where there's a sense of purpose, kind of like, what's the point? What am I here for? Last weekend, Paul Hevesy, didn't Paul do a great job last weekend talking about business leaders? Thank you, Paul. I don't know if you're in here right now, but way to go. Knocked it out of the park. How do we develop business leaders? He actually equated and said, hey, last week was not a parenting lesson, even though you can apply these things to, raising kids. Today, I'm talking about business. See, a lot of these things cross over. One of the interesting things Paul said is, that there's another word we use when it comes to developing people, building people, and it's this word that's kind of used in the church sometimes called discipleship. And every now and then somebody will say, why don't we use that word very much, Kurt? Well, the reason is because that's a churchy word. If you're not familiar with the first century Jewish culture that we read about in the New Testament and understanding what a rabbi is about, and that a rabbi had followers who were called disciples, which meant learner or someone who's developing, then you really don't understand disciples. So we don't use that word. We use words like mentoring and building and developing people because that's what it means to be a disciple. And so we see a lot of parent metaphors in the scriptures. And here's one in 1 Thessalonians. This is a people development culture right here, a people development culture that the Apostle Paul, one of the first century writers in the Bible, is talking about right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's what he says. He says, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother, taking care of her own children. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God. So right here, we have the Apostle Paul, and he's talking about someone who is not of his DNA. All right, he's talking about a parenting role here with somebody who is not a part of his DNA, but he's equating the idea of building people similar to that of a parent. And he's using parenting language right here, right? He talks about, he says God's kind of like a woman and like a nursing mother. He talks about how, it's kind of like we're like a father. God's like a father, our role like a father, even with people that aren't of our DNA. And he uses what I'd call some low challenge words right here, words that I would call playful words, words like gentle. And encouraged right there. I mean, aren't those the kind of words when you're in an environment and you're just able to be yourself and you're nurtured, you feel safe, you feel like you can totally be who you are, there's a lot of playfulness in that environment. Even if playfulness includes dangerous things or adventuresome things, you're engaging your aptitudes, developing your abilities. There's a playful side to what Paul's talking about when we develop people. And then we also see some purpose statements right here. He uses the words exhorted. He says, we exhorted you. He says, we charged you like a father. And so we have in this passage both this playful, kind of low impact, kind of playfulness, and then we have this purposefulness as Paul talks about what it means to develop people. Let me tell you something. If you can get strategic, and you can get very strategic and thoughtful and intentional about when you play with the people you're developing and when you are purposeful, All right, meaning, what's the point? Why are we here? What's our existence on this planet for? If you can get intentional about times of play and times of purpose, you're going to have children that are developed and that will excel in life. Right? They'll excel and they'll be developed because they require both. And so I have this matrix I kind of want to walk through this morning. We've been using a matrix every week to help us understand, how do we do this? What does this look like? And this comes from a guy by the name of Mike Breen, who's a big people development guy. And it works really well. Julie and I, you know, as I evaluated this for us, I mean, we fall into this matrix as well. But it's really helpful to see it. So let's go ahead and put this on the screen. And we see here, we have high play at the top, which is in the black. And then we have low play at the bottom in the red, meaning it's a deficit position. Then we have high purpose in the black, and then low purpose in a deficit. A position in the red on the left. And so let's look at the extremes that happen in each of the quadrants here. First of all, low play, low purpose is a child who is dying. All right, now I'm not talking physically dying. I'm talking a child who's emotionally dying. If there's very little play and very little purpose in the home, a child who's spiritually dying, a child who has no reason when they graduate from high school to go back to the family home. I mean, what is it that's wooing them back into that home if there's no fun and no sense of why I'm here? And there's no sense of play, no sense of purpose, and basically all family dynamics just kind of flatline. We see this sometimes, unfortunately, in a situation where there's the fostering of a child that can't be in its home of origin. And oftentimes, maybe somebody who's fostering a child, they forget that their role is to be developing that child, and they're just simply, you know, playing out the duty function of, hey, I've given them a place to sleep, they've got a place to stay, a roof over their head. No, see, if you're fostering a child, or you've adopted a child, or you're a big brother or a big sister to someone that's not of your DNA, think through, how am I engaging in play, and how am I also helping them understand their purpose, why they're here, what their role is here on this earth? You know, I see this sometimes play out in DNA families. I sometimes see men who are kind of like checklist-driven guys who have all this energy, you know, to like woo someone to the altar, get them to the altar, you know, get married. And then that checklist mentality, the energy begins to fade when it comes to developing the relationship. It's just a checklist culture. Well, I do this, I do that, I just do my duty, I don't, you know, and so the relationship fades. We see it in families. You know, I see families at times that want to have children, and yet they don't know why they, what's the purpose of having children? Or is it the 2.7 American kids that you should have in your home? What's the purpose? I shared with you Julie and my purpose. Our purpose is, we wanted to spiritually develop someone for the rest of our lives. We wanted to help someone become a lifelong learner for the rest of their life. I want them to understand why they're on this planet. So the first quadrant, low purpose, low play, results in children dying. Second quadrant here we see is what we call high purpose and low play, and I'd characterize this one as being driven. All right, usually children that are in this quadrant have parents, they live in a home with parents who are driven. You've probably heard of like the tiger moms and such, right? Remember that old cartoon, they're like, hey, yo, mule, go, go, mule. When I say go, you say go. When I say whoa, you say whoa. You guys remember that old commercial? It's like Yosemite Sam or something like that. And then he'd smack the mule in the butt with like a whip or something. And then you guys don't remember that? YouTube it, all right? That was when cartoons were like real entertainment, all right? That was like the days where they actually had a point to them, all right? Nonetheless, it's kind of that culture where it's just a whip being cracked. And it's interesting because, you know, sometimes parents can have the only purpose for their kids is to help them get to college and be successful financially. And if that's the goal that we have, then usually the situation is that we're constantly driving them to more, driving them to better academics, more activities, more engagements, more sports. You know, you need to be engaged in all of these fronts, always exceeding and excelling what you did previously. It's this go, go, go culture, because our goal is to help them be successful. And what we end up doing is there's no sense of playfulness. There's no sense of joy, because it's always go, achieve, do. And the play becomes very, very low. I mean, well, why would a kid come back to home when they're on their own? Why would they go back to boot camp? That's all it is boot camp. Sometimes this is lived out through moms and dads who, you know, are driving their daughters to a specific body type, a specific body image, body beautiful. Or dads driving their, you know, or moms in the same way, driving their sons to some image of masculinity and the such that they want. You know, in my line of work, this is very, very dangerous. Because I've seen people in my line of work as a pastor try to drive their kids to like certain levels of holiness, certain levels of morality, certain levels of biblical knowledge. And you know, and it's kind of like, it's all so that me, somebody in my role actually looks good. Hey, look at my family. Look at my kids. I've seen screwed up pastors' homes like this. I mean, I've seen where, you know, where kids are just totally screwed up because they're trying to show how spiritual their parents are because there's just this constant spiritual drive. Yeah, I have four kids. I want my kids to grow spiritually. I want to push them. I always want to push them to the next place. And yet, I have to very cautiously step back and say, how do I parent them in a way that communicates that, hey, I love Jesus and I want you to love Jesus too, but I'm going to do it in a way as if I was like a factory assembly line worker, not as a pastor. So my identity isn't connected to where you are in your spirituality. Because I want my kids to like see God as a loving God, as the fun, playful side of God, not just the hit the marks, know the scriptures. I mean, my daughter came home earlier this year, and they had some Bible contest at a club, and you know, and she was like, should I memorize all these scriptures? I'm like, if you want to. I said, my goal isn't that you memorize them all. I want you to be able to like live them out. I'm more interested in living them out than knowing where it's found. I mean, you know, we have to think, how am I training? What am I building into my kids? Next extreme. Next extreme is high play, low purpose. This is a fun one. This is what I would call diapers, all right, diapers. This is where your child is perpetually in diapers. I know some of you have like 9 months old. You feel like they're perpetually in diapers, right? It's going to come to an end someday, all right? But this is where you don't let your kids have any space. This is where you don't let your kids have any, they can never succeed on their own because you always got to be holding your hand. This is where you're solving all of their problems. You know, and you could baby them through their entire life. I see 40-year-olds being babied by their parents, you know, still holding their hand. I was at a Walmart a few weeks ago, and I was in the parking lot, and I saw this mom with like a 5 or 6-year-old doing this number. Maybe you've seen it. She's going, come on, you can do it. We're going to leave now. Come on, come on. Come on, you. I'm like, he's 6. All right, he's 6. Just tell him to get in the car. Come on, you can do it. And because you know what that turns into? You're at the mall when they're like 13. You're like, come on, it's time to go now. Come on, let's go. No, I never talk to my kids in a baby voice, all right? I want my kids to like know how to have adult conversations. I want them to use adult words. I want them to understand an adult tone of voice because no one who talks like this is ever successful. This just doesn't work, all right? It doesn't work. Right? I mean, why would I want to keep my kid in a stupidy little, you know, 3-year-old body when he's 18? I mean, it doesn't work. You know, we treat our kids sometimes like they're in diapers. You know, and if your kid is in diapers, don't leave him there forever, all right? I mean, don't let him get a rash. I mean, I'm talking figuratively, not literally. All right, so, you know, sometimes we err on the side of high playfulness and we actually, you know, find ourselves always rescuing our kids. We find ourselves in this place where we bail them out of every difficult circumstance. No, you've got to let them sit in their poop every now and then, all right? You got to let them feel it, all right? You got to let them, I mean, it's one of the motivators of getting out of diapers. I mean, when you're sitting in that squishy, stinky, I made this mess and I hate it moment, and your butt's getting a rash on it because you've been sitting in it for so long, eventually you say, man, I think I want to move to underoos. It's time to go. I want to make a change, right? And so we have to let our kids experience a certain level of consequence or we keep them in this sense of high play, low purpose, and they just stay in diapers their whole life. Sometimes we see this, when I was doing student ministry, I'd see this happen in teens who are very accomplished academically. You know, very, very good grades in high school. They're you know, top of their class. And then they go to college and they tank. Why is that? Well, it's usually as a result of one of two things. Either because parents had them in diapers and they didn't allow them to fail. They never allowed them to fail. Or because parents, you know, kind of failed them because they were always driving them. They're always saying, hey, when's your next test? What homework do you have tonight? Is it done? Can I read it? Can I change it for you? Let me take the computer and just fix this for you right now. I mean, these are like, you know, with 18-year-olds doing their projects. We have 4 kids in our home from 4 to 11. And they're all at different phases in this process. And yet with our oldest child, with Macy, she's 11, almost 12. And, you know, we don't hold her hand on homework anymore. It's her responsibility to get it done. It's her responsibility when she gets home to get it done. And, you know, she's got an essay. We'll read it. We're there to coach her if she wants to have us read it and give her feedback. There's a few times I wish she would ask me for help. I read it and I'm like, you know. And yet... She's learned the moments when she needs help, and you know, there's just an element that, you know, she's got to learn to do this on her own. Why is that? What's the intention behind this? It's this. Because, see, if she can't have a certain level of drive on this and an ability to do this on her own when she's under my roof, what's going to happen when she's out from under my tutelage on her own with all kinds of distractions at someplace like college? You see, she's got to begin to learn to do this now on her own because I don't want her in diapers her whole life. Fourth extreme, what we call high play, high purpose, which I will call developed. This is where children are developed, where there's high play and there's high purpose. Now, this doesn't mean that this is an environment where it's 50% play, 50% purpose. What it means is sometimes it's going to be all play. Sometimes it's going to be all purpose. You can almost equate this like this squiggly line. You're bouncing back and forth. Man, we're all play right now. Now we're all about purpose. We're all play here, and then we're back to purpose. Well, this is regularly integrated into your environment. Here's one of the things the Apostle Paul says again in this context of developing people. He says, I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. The Apostle Paul, he says, hey, be imitators of me. You know, we all, every single one of us, has someone that we honor or respect or admire or look up to, right? I mean, it's a healthy thing. We all have somebody that we aspire to be like. That's a very, very good thing, a role model. As you think about that person, just think about the person in your mind right now, whether it's a parent, a mother, a father, you know, a figure that played a key role in your life. As you see them in your mind right now, most likely that person is somebody who knows how to exhibit a level of playfulness and knows how to exhibit a level of purposefulness. They have both. Those are the people we're drawn to. The Apostle Paul right here, he says, imitate me, be an imitator of me. You know why he can say this? Because he has a life that's worth mimicking. He has a life that is the kind of life that people are drawn to. Tell you what, I don't want to be around people all the time. They're like, hey, what are we doing next? What's the next goal? What's the next mark? Where are we going? Why are you sitting there? That drives me crazy. I mean, I can be that way, but I like to just sometimes hang out and not have to be about any purpose. For those who read Steve Jobs' biography, it's more like an autobiography. If you've read that, you probably know what I'm going to say right here. I've not talked to anybody yet that's read Steve Jobs' biography and said, man, I want to be like Steve Jobs. I mean, we want to be successful like Steve Jobs, right? But nobody wants to be him because what you realize, he was constantly driving, pushing, going. He had very, very shallow relationships. He had no sense of playfulness to him. You know, there's an outage there. The Apostle Paul says, hey, mimic me. Mimic me. I have to think the Apostle Paul had an element of playfulness as well as an element of purposefulness. So how do we do this? Three quick hitters on how we begin to build into these key relationships in our life. Number one, stability. Kids need stability, all right? Kids need the same person in the same place on a regular basis, meaning it doesn't mean you can't be a traveling salesman and not fulfill this for your life. It means what your kids need is for you to be a stable force in their life, a grounding force in their life. You can be out of town for a period of time. When you're home, are you the stable force? Are you the grounding force? Kids need this. Second thing kids need, very similar to this, is predictability. So kids need stability, and then they also need predictability. My biggest heroes for this, in this room this morning, in this area of predictability and stability, are those of you who are single parents. My goodness, let's hear it for the single parents in the room. I tell you what, when I watch you parent, I tell you what, hat off my head over my heart to you, because I watch the energy that you put in as a single parent in building into your kids' lives, and I know God gives grace where grace is needed, and he helps you exceed what you should be able to do on your own. I just watch that all the time. In fact, regardless of how good or bad you feel like you're parenting, I'm confident you're doing it much better than I could do if I were a single parent. So way to go. Hats off to you. One of the benefits then of having a mom and dad both present in the home, a man and a woman coming together, parenting, becoming one, is that there's a oneness in that parenting relationship. It's not a joint partnership. There's a oneness that the Bible talks about. And here's an interesting way that this begins to play out in the parenting realm, this oneness. You know, when I realized that Julie and I were one person, even when it comes to our parenting, you know, I began to be much more grace-giving with some of the outages that she had and brought to the parenting table. And at the same time, I became less bummed out about some of the outages I bring to the parenting table. Meaning, if you're parenting in a home, there's a oneness between the two of you. Doesn't mean you have to be 50% play, 50% purpose. It means that likely, in your home, one of you brings a little more of the play. Doesn't mean you can't have purpose. You bring a little more of the playful side. The other brings a little more of the purpose side. In our home, for my kids, they know that Julie is the playful one, all right? They know that she's the one that's more encouraging. They know that she's the one that's easier to get along with. She's the one they hit up when I'm like, hey, kids, get to bed. And they know if they go up and say, hey, Mom, can we read a story in bed together? She's like, come on in. You know, I go up and it's like four bears in a bed, right? I mean, they're like all tucked in. And because that she will always stop and do that. That's just the playful side of her. And I'll come up and I'll be like, hey, I thought I told you to get to bed. And they're like, oh, Dad's going to be mad. And, you know, I mean, and so that's just the role she fulfills. She's very predictable. She's very predictable for our kids in fulfilling that role. Doesn't mean that she lacks purpose. She can drive that home too. But she emulates the playful role. Guess what? Anytime there's crunch time, anytime a bike needs fixed, anytime there's like, oh, my word, I got to do this right now, guess who they call? Dad, right? Because Dad's like MacGyver Dad, always comes through, always can figure it out, you know, go into my toolbox, you know, project didn't get done, oh my word, we probably should have been better parents and knew it was coming, we didn't, so we're going to help him get it done in the last hour before bed. You know, that's my role. I emulate the purposeful side. I can be playful, all right, but the purposeful one. And so our kids know that there's a certain predictability and stability that comes in the playful realm and the purposeful realm. Third one, vulnerability. Vulnerability. We need to be parents who model what it means to be vulnerable, what it means to be able to say, hey, I messed up, or what it means to model mistakes. One of the ways that I kind of walk this out with my kids is, you know, telling them at times about past mistakes I've made. One of the things I want to do with all my kids is I always want to be first to market. I always want to be the first voice in their life. You know, every 12 to 18 months, we do a sex series here at Crosspoint where we kind of dive into God's intention for sexuality. And I always get a few people that are really concerned about the language I'm using and the some of the words that come out of my mouth and the content. And usually those are people who have kids in the auditorium. And so I usually, you know, kind of say two things to them. First of all, I say, hey, we have this novel idea here at Crosspoint. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Kids Environments. Might want to try them. Kids are a lot better during sex series in that place. Actually, most of the time, if they're of the age for that. And then secondly, I say, you know, the things you hear me say from the platform, the words I use, most of what I tell you I've never said it here and haven't already said it to my kids, whether they be 2 or 3 or 7 or 8, because I want to be first to market. I even if it's a crude term, I want them to hear it from me first, and I want to be the one to define that for them as opposed to letting someone else define it. When it comes to their sexuality, I want to be the one that helps them understand their identity and how that merges with sexuality and what that has to do with God versus them getting their identity driven by a voice on the street. I always want to be first to market. And some of the ways that I do that is being able to be vulnerable and sharing my past mistakes. See, my past mistakes don't unvalidate me. My past mistakes actually bring validation. It actually qualifies me. See, my kids can learn from some of the stupid things I did because I actually want them to exceed me. Now, I could wax on eloquently on this for a bit longer. Maybe I'm not waxing on, I don't know. Or I could blab on. Or we could go into the real live learning environment, somebody that's in the learning lab on this. So help me welcome my daughter, my oldest daughter, Macy, to the platform this morning. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along. That's the look I get every day in the car right there. Come on. Because, you know, one of my thumbprints in life is to embarrass my kids. So, you never dance with me.
I know.
All right, well, thank you for being here, Macy. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hello and good morning. My name is Macy Walters. I am in sixth grade and I go to Sand Creek Intermediate.
Awesome. And Macy knows we've been talking. She's been sitting in both services. We've been talking about playfulness and purpose. And Macy, I want you to talk a little bit with us this morning about how that plays out in our home. Just share with us from your perspective how kind of the purpose side plays out.
Well, when I was four, we moved to Fishers and we started Cross Point. And we did this to help other people see who Jesus is. And I can remember coming in early with my dad and setting up the chairs and helping put out the pins. And we'd either race to see who could get done first, or we'd just dance to the music while we were doing it.
Because sometimes you just turn purpose into play. I mean, it always works well that way, right? And what's interesting is Macy would be in here. We think this is one of our outages right here, all right? So she would be in here, and she'd be watching the guys set up sound and PJ directing the band. And it's ironic that every night, a nice night in the summer in our backyard, we have a dance party. And Macy is kind of the technical director of the party because she grew up, I believe, you know, watching this here. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yes, but you won't dance with me. All right. Anything else?
Another way our family has been about purpose is when we started the crazy campaign, one night at dinner, our parents came to us and they asked us if we should go ahead and give up cable for Cross Point so we could help build the new church. And at the time, we weren't really excited about it.
But that's an understatement.
Now we're like, it gets us outside and we get to do more fun things.
Awesome. So you love that we helped you process that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Vacations are phenomenal because they get to watch cable when we go on vacation. It's like they just want to sit inside and watch TV all day. But there's been other benefits of that as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Another way our family has been about purpose is it's cool to see some of my friends and our teachers come to Cross Point and like, they've seemed to grow and accept who Jesus is and accept to be friends with him and know, like, that he can help them through situations.
It's been really cool because, you know, our kids have been as influential in bringing some of our friends to church. And again, back to the holiness thing, we don't put pressure on this. It just kind of comes out of some of what they have experienced. How about the play side? I mean, we have some fun, right?
Yeah.
All right, how do you see that happening in our home?
Well, we have dance parties in the backyard. A lot. And we'll be in the car listening to Radio Disney. And if any Frozen song comes on or Happy comes on, we will turn it
Let
up.
It go. Just, and this is what I get every time, right here.
And yeah.
Anything else on the fun side?
Well, we get to go on vacations. And when we go on vacations, we usually go to Disney World or Dufusky Island, sometimes New York City, Washington, D.C., and places like that.
So when we vacation, man, it is like all fun. Turn the computer off, email down for the most part. And, you know, and that's one of the big things because we are so purpose-driven in our homes at times that we have to swing the other way. Anything else you want to say?
Well, I love being in our home because we always seem to have fun. There's really never a dull moment. And whenever I'm home, it feels like I get a lot of respect from my family, and they show me that, like, they help me become a better person, and yeah.
Awesome. So you have fun with me. Let me just hear it again. You have fun with me, right?
Yes.
Yes. Hey, thank you, Macy, for sharing with us this morning. Let's hear it again for Macy sharing, going out of her comfort zone. You know, Macy, I kind of had to push her a little, not too much, because she likes performing. She tried out for, like, America's Got Talent earlier this year. She enjoys that phase, but even her being here is me helping develop her as a person. And, you know, that's what God wants for us. On the back of your connection cards, if you'll take that out, that we filled out earlier this morning, there are some next steps. Go ahead and grab those. We're going to raise the house lights. And, you know, God is always interested in taking us to that next place, whatever that next place is. For Macy, it was doing this, speaking, you know, publicly. But, you know, I want you to process through these next steps and just say, you know, what is it God's put on my heart today that maybe I need to build into my life or begin building? Or who is it that I need to thank? Maybe it's telling your mom, you know, thank you for the playfulness you build in, or thank you for the purpose, or Maybe it's even taking that step of saying, God, I want to enter a relationship with you, the ultimate parent. I want to allow you to begin to build into my life. So take a moment and mark your next step. You know, as I said earlier, one of the really cool things when it comes to the family is it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where the condition of your relationships with your kids or, you know, even as adult parents with our parents are or vice versa. That's always a starting point. In fact, that's one of the places God says, hey, if things are broken, come to me. I'll meet you right there in that place. It's never too late to begin that 20-mile march. And so that's our prayer for you today, is that you, in celebration of Mother's Day, will adopt a 20-mile march, building those key things into your family dynamics, whatever that looks like for you. As we close, Macy, will you pray for us? Thank you.
God, thank you that we can be here today. I pray that people would have more insight in how to build their families and kids, and that we have a great rest of the weekend. Amen.
Amen. Hey, let's stand to our feet and let's sing together.